When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great opportunity for me again, a great honor to share the Word of God to you. I would like to invite you to turn together with me to Proverbs 23. We are busy in these days in our theme, Rediscover God. And there's so much to say. I think I come to the last point, my fourth point. There's so much, and every time when I go through it, I want to put another point and another point. And I thought, we can always in the future continue with that. As we got Proverbs 23, let us just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege once again that we can bow down before your word. Lord, we are so in need of you. We need you, O Spirit of God, to make us alive unto the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you will send forth your light and your truth, that it will guide us also today. I pray, Lord, that you illuminate our minds, our hearts, our understanding as we sit around your word. Because it's your word that gives us wisdom and understanding, Lord. And it makes the simple wise, the Bible says. It is also your word, Lord, that will be like milk for those who are still infants in Christ, but also solid food for those who are mature enough to feast on that. So come and be glorified and minister to us as we go through your word in our theme to rediscover God. And I pray that you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few verses in Proverbs 23, verse 12. It says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Just those few verses. And I know that, I think it is against the law to punish a child with the rod. But we are from the old school and our constitution is the Bible. And none has ever died when you discipline them. The Bible also says, just make sure that it didn't come up in your heart to kill him when you discipline him. And I know sometimes that you get so frustrated and so irritated and so pumped up in your anger that you can come very close to that. Very close to, how can I put it? It's not that you deliberately want to kill that person, but your child, but you want to give him a spanking, a sanctified spanking. Can I call it like that? You know what is a sanctified spanking. Plainly say, you beat the hell out of him. That's what many parents do. That was what my stepfather did. And I learned it from him. And I give it to my children. Long after that, I realized, but this is wrong. I can't do that. It's very close to child abuse. And that's wrong. So I end tonight with our fourth point concerning rediscover God. And then my theme is to rediscover that God still discipline his children. God still discipline his children. And I think that we have to come back to find it out again, to discover it again and see what the Bible is teaching us. And I know if in today, according to our constitution, that a child maybe has the right now to go and sue his parents if his parents disciplined him with the rod. And he might sit in jail. But the Bible is our constitution. And I listen to what the Bible say. And the Bible say here, if you love him, you will discipline him. If you love him, you will discipline him. Now, I think all of us, maybe were disciplined and maybe not enough when we were children. I can remember, and as I prepare this message, above so many, oh, I can't count them. You can't count them, it's just too much of discipline that we have to go through. But I can remember one thing that my mother gave me, a sanctified spanking that day. That particular day, I will die with it in my memory. And I know that we all come from different backgrounds, and I know that many of us are so very, very poor, and that you can hardly have some food on the table, and I have really an understanding, and I come to grips with it. And I can remember one day I was still in the primary school, and I hear many times my mother say, and I think I did say it here about my testimony there, that she need cotton wool, you know, to put the buttons back where it belong, but she don't have it. And sometimes we have these needles, you know, that for the babies, you know, that it's not like steri nappies and all those stuff. We have the old white stuff and nappy and that pin that you puncture the baby in his belly. You have to put your hand inside, otherwise you... Sometimes we go like that to school. So, but one day it was raining, and we stay there in Pretoria. And so she sent us one day to go and buy some bread for our bread for tomorrow. So I go to the Chinaman, we call them those days Chinaman. We go to this shop, and when I enter this shop, right here in front, if you come in, here is a, I don't know what they call it, a showcase full of cotton cotton wool with all the different colors, man. And I go and buy the bread, and I linger a little bit here at this case of all the different colors of cotton wool. And I look around, you know. My mother teaches us to look right on the road and left on the road, you know. Both sides of the road before you cross the road. See if there nobody saw you or coming on, and then you can cross over. And I cross over, and I put my hand, and I took one of those. Nicely wrapped in that transparent plastic bag of it, and there I put it in my pocket and I go home. Very happy about myself. Nobody caught me, nothing. Now my mother can sew it and she can put the buttons back, and you know, she will be very happy. She might even, you know, hug me and say thank you for this. And maybe I will, you know, I'm not going to tell her but you know, you don't know my mother. So I come at home, give her the bread, and I said, Mother, remember it was raining. It was turf, you know, that black mud. Man, that rain, we say sometimes it rains so the earthworms come out of it. So much rain. And we say it rains earthworms. Because it is just everywhere the earthworms that came out of that turf, that black ground. So I said to her, Ma, look what I pick up in the street. Wow. And she looked at the beginning, you know, very happy about it. And then she realized, but if I pick it up in the street, in the dirt and all of those stuff, that thing is supposed to be wet and, you know, have some stain of the mud in it. Now, Chris didn't think much further as what his nose is long. I didn't even think of the rain or nothing about it. Otherwise, maybe I would put it in the water, you know, and get it a little bit soaked. But I didn't know because I was not a good thief, you know, and a good liar. I was not a very good liar. So I said, no, Mom, I pick it up in the street. Where did you pick it up? And she started questioning, you know. You know, she's very interested in this. And she say, I'm grateful, but where do you get it, Christo? And Christo, you know, and Christo have to tell her, Mom. She said, Christo, where did you get it? Now I can see she's serious. Now she don't smile anymore. She said to me, go and wait for me in the room. Now I know, here comes trouble. Okay, if your mother took you, man, I'm telling you, she's gonna beat the daylights out of you. So I go into my room, and she bring that little cotton wool with her, that over. New man. She said, Krista, where do you get it? And don't tell me you pick it up in the street. Don't tell me that. And I tell her, Ma, I took it from a Chinaman, and I tried to rectify it because you've got so much. You've got so much. Why? I mean, I cannot. You're not going to even notice that I took one. That day, I remember until today. If I think hard enough, I can still feel it. She beat me, and that my auntie runs into that room, thought she's going to kill me. Yeah, she don't stop. And when I grow up, I find it difficult if somebody steals my stuff. But she said, okay, oh, I'm burning.
all over. Because, you know, we duck and dive and we run this, and she hit wherever she can find the piece to hit. She said, now you take this and go back to the Chinaman. You give it back. That was the hardest part for me, to go back. Because when I stand in that door and I saw that shelf where all those rolls of cotton wool is, it feels like everybody's looking at me. Here comes the thief. Everybody's going on with their own thing, but I feel so self-conscious that, and still my behind is burning. But hey, how do I put this back without they gonna look at me? And now you look out of place because you are not there to buy something. You are there to put it back. At the end of the day, I put it back. Nobody saw me and I'm running out. And as I grow up, when I came in the army, hey, I found a lot of thieves there. They steal my boots, my bayonet. They steal whatever they can. They even my underpants. Sorry for that. If you don't put it in a chain and lock it, they steal it. And you get only so much in the month, end of the month, and then you have to buy those stuff back. Oh. And then my conscience say, go and steal back what they steal from you. And now I'm thinking of my hiding. And besides that, I have to write out the Ten Commandments. What is the Eighth Commandment? Thou shalt not steal. I must write it out. So I found it very difficult. And I say, Mother, thank you for that day that you beat the daylight out of me. Because when they steal my stuff in the army, I go, poor little me, go and buy others. So Monday, there's inspection. And if that is not there, oh, they have another way to punish us. And when one day I go on 7-day leave, when we came from the border, my stuff, my cupboard was broken up, everything is gone. But I think of the discipline that I received as a child. My mother, one, my father smoked. And we are now little rebels, you know. Not really rebels, but hey, we are naughty. My mother is sick. We have a guy working in the garden. My father hired him and he could smoke his zol. Not dacha, but you know, they take newspaper and they, you know, roll it up and go buy some BB tobacco and they put it in his smoke. It smell like a, I don't know what, but smell very. Now my brother was so looking for that and he picked up all those nips. And he tried to make a concoction of out of those nips. And he's sitting there. He's only 2 years older than me. But yeah. And you know what happens? My mother caught us. My mother. She didn't beat us. Nothing. She said, don't worry. Don't worry. And we think, okay, hey, she's okay with it. Because I know she smoked too. That night my father came. And he called us in. Let us sit next to him. He took out his packet of cigarettes. He liked him one. And he gave to me one. And to my brother one. My brother just take it. And I know what's coming. I know. And he took it. And my father liked it for us. I cough my lungs out. I didn't have just a few puffs. And then I can't take it anymore. And then it is discipline time. Discipline time. Never touch it again in my life. And I thank God for that. Does God discipline His children? Or just, does He leave them that they can carry on with what they're doing? You know, it is okay with Him. I think of the movie that we saw last Sunday of Numbers 32:23. Your sin will find you out. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. I want to go through that because we have to rediscover that when we go to things and it is tough and it is very hard and we want to accuse somebody or someone, that we must realize maybe it is the discipline of God in my life. Because the Bible states here that He has to discipline us. He can't just leave us all by ourselves. You know, and they say the Bible itself says if you love someone, you will discipline it. If you don't discipline that child, it means you don't love that child. If you don't discipline him, that child gonna bring shame on you. And it doesn't mean if you discipline him, sorry,
that He will not bring shame on you. He will sometimes, because we teach them the ways of God and we do everything we can, and once they leave the house or they go to school, you are not always there to watch them, and they do some mischief. And then in those days when the teachers could still discipline the children, and if you come home and you say, "Mommy, the teacher gave me today 6 of the best," then she gonna give you more than what he gave you. So you keep zip your mouth. Otherwise you're going to have a double 6, you know. So they discipline us and we have respect for them. And we call them Mr. and Sir. And we stand up when the teacher come in. Oh, we have in those days, those were the days. But the Bible say here from verse 5. They say, "And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that address you as sons." He say, we forgot, so that's why we have to come back to rediscover. Because we forgot. We forget that what God is actually doing with us. Because He say, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when He rebukes you or disciplines you." Because there is a purpose when God come and to discipline His children. There's a purpose. He said, don't make something light of it. Don't mock Him of it. Oh, I don't want to go back to my childhood. But there was many times when my father disciplined me, and when he walked out of that room, you know, come on, who didn't do that? Many of us do it. And say, "I'm going to beat you." All kinds of funny stuff. It's only me. Sorry, it's only me who did it. Don't take it like, why? Because my father, my mother, she know what she's doing. And I can't understand why you beat the daylights out of me. It was a small thing and you make it as if it is Table Mountain. And I despise it many times. And this is what he said, don't despise it. Don't make something like if God take you and it's going to discipline you for that thing that you've done wrong. And maybe it is like your father and mother said over and over and over to you, "My father talks twice. The first time and then the second time you get." If he say to you no and you continue with it, the second no is you're going to get it. I saw fathers and mothers, they talk their head off, their ears off their heads, and the child still laughing at them. That is the day that we live in. He said no. Because God disciplines us. He say verse 6, because the Lord disciplines those He hates. Is that what the Bible says? He say He disciplines those He loves. And He punishes everyone who He accepts as a son. And then He say, I will go back there now. Endure that hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons and not as illegitimate children. God has something in His heart, a purpose. When He comes and He disciplines me because He loves me. Because He's got a dream in His heart, if I can call it like that. The purpose in His heart for me one day. Because verse 10 say, so that I can be participate of His holiness. He say for our good. He punished us for our good that we may share in His holiness. That what I've done is unholy. It's wrong. God will not punish you or discipline you or chastise you for that what is good and right. That is wrong and evil. And I'm talking to children of God who many times find themselves in the dark corners of life. In their way of dealing business, in their business dealings. Even the pastor said last night, 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil, you know, that company that we keep, it corrupts every good moral in our lives. My aunt said many years ago to me, "Christo, you show me your friends and I tell you what kind of person you are. You show me your friends. And if you hang out with the Scorimoris in our language, then I know that you are one of them too. That bad, rotten apples. You are rotten inside too. Because that one rotten apple is going to corrupt you." And many times we think we're going to win them. It's actually they win us over to them. Because we also want to feel in and not being rejected. And you want to be the main peanut and the empty can there, you know. And it's just there where we compromise with our morals. And with the standards that we grow up in the home. And we say, no, we grow up with blinkers, you know. And when we leave home, we are like wild stallions. Because never did we, saw there's so much liberty and freedom outside of this house. And many times people want to go out of home because they don't like the discipline there. And they think they're going to escape God's discipline. No. God has to chastise us because He say here, He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. And God is not a cruel God. It is not to afflict us because He delights Himself in it. No, it is to correct us. To correct us for our faults. He disciplines us. And He say, don't despise that. Don't despise it. It's actually for your good. And we find ourselves in the furnaces of life where God placed us in. Because it is part of His discipline for me. To temper me there. And one of the things is my character. All the defects of that. And it's hard. Proverbs say the way of the transgressors is hard. And then we want to know, you know, what went wrong and why this. And it looks like God hate us. No, God hate, do not hate you. If you think of your life, how did you come here? Why? How does this happen? And you go back a little bit, you will find it where God has already talked to you. And we are stubborn, stiff-necked, deaf, blind, and we don't want to obey. So He wants to correct us so that we can share in His holiness. And then He comes and He gives them the same thing as our fathers. Our earthly fathers, man, they beat the daylights out of us for our good. Many times I hear it, and I hear it in my own life when I was a child. Don't do what I do, do what I say. Didn't you hear that? Maybe not. My father did it. And if you don't do what he say and you do what he do, you're going to get it. Because not everything that he do is right. And he don't want you to do what he do. And he don't set the right example for us. But here comes God and said, I want to set the right example for you. And here comes 1 Corinthians 11:32, where it comes to the communion where Paul say that let we be judged by God first. He say here, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world.